Her dreams had been confused and fearful things, of bright lights moving fast, of rock mountains filled with lights spearing upwards like icicles. In the night, she had woken, sweating, and needing to make water. She squatted over the wooden cup and filled it with her urine. Then she placed the cup outside the tent, in the snow, and returned to sleep. When she woke, she picked the lumps of ice out from the wooden cup, as her mother had taught her, leaving a darker, more concentrated liquid behind. It was this liquid she passed around the skin tent, first to Gugwe, then to Yanu, and to Kalanu. Each of them took a large gulp of the liquid, then Atsula took the final draft. She swallowed it and poured what was left on the ground in front of their god, a libation to Nanyanini. They sat in the smoky tent, waiting for their god to speak. Outside in the darkness, the wind wailed and breathed. Kalanu, the scout, was a woman who dressed and walked as a man. She had even taken Delani, a 14-year-old maiden, to be her wife. Kalanu blinked her eyes tightly. Then she got up and walked over to the mammoth skull. She pulled the mammoth hide cloak over herself and stood, so her head was inside the mammoth skull.
"There is evil in the land," said Nanyanini. "Evil such that if you stay here, in the land of your mothers and your mothers' mothers, you shall all perish."
The three listeners grunted.
"Is it the slavers or the great wolves?"
asked Gugwe, whose hair was long and white and whose face was as wrinkled as the gray skin of a thorn tree.
"It is not the slavers,"
said Nanyanini, old stone hide.
"It is not the great wolves."
"Is it a famine? Is a famine coming?"
asked Gugwe. Nanyanini was silent. Kalanu came out of the skull and waited with the rest of them. Gugwe put on the mammoth hide cloak and put his head inside the skull.
"It is not a famine as you know it,"
said Nanyanini through Gugwe's mouth.
"Although a famine will follow."
"Then what is it?"
asked Yanu.
"I am not afraid. I will stand against it. We have spears, and we have throwing rocks. Let 100 mighty warriors come against us, still we shall prevail. We shall lead them into the marshes and split their skulls with our rocks."
"It is not a man thing,"
said Nanyanini in Gugwe's old voice.
"It will come from the skies, and none of your spears or your rocks will protect you."
"How can we protect ourselves?"
asked Atsula.
"I have seen flames in the skies. I have heard a noise louder than 10 thunderbolts. I have seen forests flattened and rivers boil."
"I,"
said Nanyanini, but he said no more. Gugwe came out of the skull, bending stiffly, for he was an old man, and his knuckles were swollen and knotted. There was silence. Atsula threw more leaves on the fire, and the smoke made their eyes tear. Then Yanu strode to the mammoth head, put the cloak about his broad shoulders, put his head inside the skull. His voice boomed.
"You must journey,"
said Nanyanini.
"You must travel to sunward. Where the sun rises, there you will find a new land, where you will be safe. It will be a long journey. The moon will swell and empty, die and live, twice. And there will be slavers and beasts, but I shall guide you and keep you safe. If you travel toward the sunrise."
Atsula spat on the mud of the floor and said,
"No."
She could feel the god staring at her.
"No, you are a bad god to tell us this. We will die. We will all die, and then who will be left to carry you from high place to high place? To raise your tent? To oil your great tusks with fat?"
The god said nothing. Adzula and Yanu exchanged places. Adzula's face stared out through the yellowed mammoth bone.
Adzula has no faith,
said Nanyanini in Adzula's voice.
Adzula shall die before the rest of you enter the new land, but the rest of you shall live. Trust me, there is a land to the east that is manless. This land shall be your land, and the land of your children and your children's children, for 7 generations and 7 sevens. But for Atsula's faithlessness, you would have kept it forever. In the morning, pack your tents and your possessions, and walk toward the sunrise.
And Gugwe and Yanu and Kalanu bowed their heads and exclaimed at the power and wisdom of Nanyanini. The moon swelled and waned and swelled and waned once more. The people of the tribe walked east toward the sunrise, struggling through the icy winds which numbed their exposed skin. Nanyanini had promised to them truly. They lost no one from the tribe on the journey, save for a woman in childbirth. And women in childbirth belong to the moon, not to Nanyanini. They crossed the land bridge. Kalanu had left them at first light to scout the way. Now the sky was dark, and Kalanu had not returned, but the night sky was alive with lights, knotting and flickering and winding, flux and pulse, white and green and violet and red. Adzula and her people had seen the northern lights before, but they were still frightened by them, and this was a display like they had never seen before. Kalanu returned to them as the lights in the sky formed and flowed.
Sometimes,
she said to Adzula,
I feel that I could simply spread my arms and fall into the sky.
That is because you are a scout,
said Adzula the priestess.
When you die, you shall fall into the sky and become a star to guide us as you guide us in life.
There are cliffs of ice to the east, high cliffs,
said Kalanu, her raven black hair worn long, as a man would wear it.
We can climb them, but it will take many days.
You shall lead us safely,
said Adzula.
I shall die at the foot of the cliff, and that shall be the sacrifice that takes you into the new lands.
To the west of them, back in the lands from which they had come, where the sun had set hours before, there was a flash of sickly yellow light, brighter than lightning, brighter than daylight, a burst of pure brilliance that forced the folk on the land bridge to cover their eyes and spit and exclaim. Children began to wail.
That is the doom that Nanyanini warned us of,
said Gugwe the Old.
Surely he is a wise god and a mighty one.
He is the best of all gods,
said Kalanu.
In our new land, we shall raise him up on high, and we shall polish his tusks and skull with fish oil and animal fat, and we shall tell our children, and our children's children, and our 7th children's children, that Nanyanini is the mightiest of all gods and shall never be forgotten.
Gods are great,
said Adzula slowly, as if she were comprehending a great secret.
But the heart is greater, for it is from our hearts they come, and to our hearts they shall return.
And there is no telling how long she might have continued in this blasphemy had it not been interrupted in a manner that brooked no argument. The roar that erupted from the west was so loud that ears bled, that they could hear nothing for some time, temporarily blinded and deafened but alive, knowing that they were luckier than the tribes to the west of them.
It is good,
said Adzula, but she could not hear the words inside her head. Adzula died at the foot of the cliffs when the spring sun was at its zenith. She did not live to see the new world, and the tribe walked into those lands with no holy woman. They scaled the cliffs, and they went south and west, until they found a valley with fresh water and rivers that teemed with silver fish and deer that had never seen man before and were so tame it was necessary to spit and to apologize to their spirits before killing them. Dalani gave birth to 3 boys, And some said that Kalanu had performed the final magic and could do the man thing with her bride, while others said that old Gugwe was not too old to keep a young bride company when her husband was away. And certainly once Gugwe died, Delani had no more children.